This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are halfway home on a Monday. Oh, my God, it's only Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3, the fan. The wound for the Padres right now is just gaping open. You just got to find a way to staunch the bleeding. I like that word, staunch.
It's a good word.
It is a good word. Do you staunch bleeding by fire? Is that how you do it?
Ooh, no, I think you can staunch bleeding
like
with
staples,
gauze.
Gauze?
Yeah, maybe some gauze.
And then staple the wound together.
Yeah, that's a dramatic way to do it.
That's what they did in Roadhouse. He like got these staples on the side of his... and she said, he said, pain don't hurt.
Maybe a tourniquet?
I don't know if you can put a tourniquet around your gut if you have a gaping hole in your stomach. I don't know. Staunching the bleeding, though, is what we need to do. And Matt Waldron will be on the bump tonight to try to help... staunch that bleeding for the San Diego Padres against the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, that's what Ropey says. That would be cauterizing.
Cauterizing.
When you use fire to burn it shut.
God, I can't think of anything worse. Hey, you just cut the crap out of your leg. Don't worry, I'm going to use this torch and cauterize it. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. Do you have anything I can bite down on? Because I feel like this is going to hurt severely. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, back from his Vegas vacation, his Henderson vacation. Sin Suburb, as we called it. Not Sin City, Sin Suburb, which is genius. That should be their entire marketing plan in Henderson. Leave Sin City behind. Come to Sin Suburb.
Other than the views of the strip, which were spectacular.
Really cool.
Really cool. It's actually a pretty normal suburban neighborhood.
Yeah.
There wasn't. It's not like there's casinos on every corner.
Did you go
to
Green Valley Ranch?
We did go and had dinner there one night.
Yeah. Place is amazing.
Yeah.
Like very fancy. Very, very cool place.
That's their
Henderson.
One big like casino resort in Henderson.
It is really cool.
Did you make it to Play It Again Sam's?
Yeah, you didn't make it.
Did not find Play It Again Sam's.
If you missed it, do we have it, Paulie?
I've got it.
Okay, if you guys missed it, we played it last Thursday. We had Ben calling Play It Again Sam's, which is a sports bar / gentleman's establishment.
Thanks for calling Play It Again Sam's. Shanna speaking.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was disappointed with last night.
What happened?
You could see it all falling apart right there on the stage. It was horrible.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to need at least a couple of $100 bills.
Wants his money back.
Is this a joke?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Would you like to speak with the manager?
I know that the Lakers aren't going to win the championship. They're probably going to lose to Denver anyway.
Okay.
I like watching LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, we know. We know. Oh, my God. Lord.
Oh, was that a hang-up at the end?
That was a hang-up at the end. Yeah, it was. It was. I had an interesting time yesterday morning. I went to scoop my wife's car up. She had a rough weekend. Hannah was actually in the hospital over the weekend for severe dehydration. And I thought because she had a
was
spot.
That in quotes or that was
no, I didn't. I no finger quotes there. I'll be honest. I thought she had one too many margs at the spa in the sun. She didn't. She didn't have a drop to drink and just got lightheaded. She's been dieting. She's been working out so hard. She gets up early, goes to the spa that day, and I get a text. I've got both of the boys, and we're going to go to the Padre game that night. And they actually had to come take her on a gurney and take her to the hospital.
Jeez.
So she's okay. But it was a rough weekend. She was really, she texted me this morning. She goes, I feel so much better. But I was, you know, I was a little nervous, man. So she's fine now, I hope. But she's okay. Like, we got her taken care of this weekend. But then yesterday we had to go get her car from the spa. And so we're like, hey, let's get breakfast. And we're early family, man. Both kids were up at 6 yesterday, and we were at breakfast by 7:15.
Beat the Sunday morning brunch crowd.
Bro, we beat everybody. There was like three couples in Broken Yoke. We went to Broken Yoke because it's really close. And we pulled in, walked inside, and I looked at her immediately. I go, what the hell's happening in here? Now, it smelled delicious. You could smell the bacon, the sausage, you know, the hash browns, all of it, the maple syrup. You're like, I'm so hungry. I'm going to feast.
I love that smell of coffee.
Coffee.
Breakfast early in the
syrup,
morning. Yeah.
Sausage, maple. Like, I mean, I walked in. It hit me like a punch in the face. I went, oh, yes, let's eat. But the soundtrack at Broken Yoke was a little odd for like 7:15 in the morning. Also, it was about as loud as it is at a Seals game. So they had it cranked up, and we walk in. The lady's like, is there four of you? And all I hear in the back is, everybody dance now. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, all right, well, it'll stop. It'll stop after this song. Clearly, somebody made a mistake.
This is like me at Texas Roadhouse with Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah, with Cotton Eye Joe. I think somebody... Can I get, I just want the All-American, I want them two eggs, over medium, I'll do sausage, the whole thing, the whole morning.
What should they have been playing?
Something quiet.
Not jock jams?
Not jock jams. I would say that's the wrong.
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah. If you want orange juice, we want to do, man, I just can't hear myself thinking here right now. I think they're going to have the French toast.
I mean,
they're
going to do the French toast. You're trying to recover from Saturday night.
Well, I had the Seals game. I'm cashed. I'm beat. And it was full on. It was like being in an arena.
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah. Yes, I am ready to order. French toast would be great. OJ, I'll have large apple juice. Refill that coffee, though, please. It was comedy. I looked at him. I go, this is, she goes, what is the song selection? And I go, I don't know. Make for a great bit tomorrow, though. That's all I thought about. I go, I can't wait to tell the fellas tomorrow. Unbelievable. Like anything, almost anything, anything but.
I wonder how they decide who plays the music.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, is it piped in to all of the different Broken Yokes? Because there are stores. I had a buddy that I used to work. I did my alt country show on this.
Some of you says, y'all ready for this, Benedict?
Yeah, y'all ready for this, Benedict? I worked for this guy, Ben. Levi's paid him like an obscene amount of money. An obscene amount of money to curate playlists for all of their stores across the world. He was the guy, and they're like, so he would
like
curate.
The psychology of what music
will make
is going
you buy
to make
jeans.
You buy jeans.
Specifically, Levi jeans. You get them in the store, they hear this, and they're like, I need a couple of pairs of dungarees.
A lot of country, I'd imagine.
But they paid, they paid him a fortune. And I always thought, what a good gig that is. Like programming music for Urban Outfitters or something, you know? So I wonder if Broken Yoke has a guy. You know, that programs for all the Broken Yokes. And if that is the guy, I need to ask the question. Is it you, Ben Higgins? Are you, in fact, the programmer for Broken Yoke?
Maybe they just have found that jock jams gets more people to order steak and eggs.
It was.
Than other music.
It was horrific. It really was. The breakfast was delicious. I mean, delicious. But it was the ambiance, I think I would have given it one star. Right?
That's tough.
And ambiance is important. But not really at a breakfast place because it's kind of hard to mess up a breakfast.
You a wheat, white, sourdough toast guy on the side?
I went to wheat toast yesterday.
Toast.
Yeah, I only had one
solid
piece.
Move.
Try to limit my carb intake. But I needed a piece of toast.
I love the toast on the side.
I love toast too, man. I love the
toast. I mix
toast.
It up. Sometimes I'll do with white, sometimes wheat,
oh, okay.
Sometimes
yeah,
sourdough.
Y'all ready for this?
It's always cut diagonally at the restaurants.
My wife made an interesting order for the kids. She got them chicken and waffles. And it was a really nice looking waffle, but it had three chicken strips on top of it, which I found.
Not regular fried chicken.
Right.
Just strips.
Chicken strips.
It seemed perfect for kids, actually. It,
yeah. They didn't eat any of the chicken.
Like bones.
They didn't eat any of
Would
the chicken.
Would they have eaten it if it was like a drumstick?
I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt it. So could have just gotten the waffle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good meal. It's a good meal.
Chicken and waffles. Hold the chicken, please.
Yeah, hold the chicken.
What's baseball really like? Join former Padre and MLB All-Star Brett Boone and his big league friends on his podcast, The Boone Podcast, 3 days a week. Brett talking with Hall of Famers, fellow All-Stars, and more. The list goes on and on. Follow The Boone Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Did you see the picture of Brett Boone and his Padres reunion that he posted
yesterday? I sure
did. Let's see. I see Andy Ashby. They're posing at Petco Park, little group. Chris Gomez. That is that Randy there? Randy Jones.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Brian Lawrence. And Rupert Jones, I think. I see another Jones. So all sitting there, right there in the owner's suite, having a nice time at the ballpark. Even those guys could not deliver a win yesterday for your San Diego Padres, though. But good to see Booney out of the Padres game.
Yeah, always. Always good to see Booney. And we'll talk to Booney this week, I think. Yeah.
TBD.
It's a TBD. Okay, cool. It's a TBD. We've had a lot of chances to talk with Brett, though, which
is
nice.
He's been phenomenal.
Padres need a good Andy Ashby-esque start right now.
They do.
This week.
Matt Waldron does not really give me Andy Ashby vibes.
So Matt Waldron has had Kyle Higashioka basically as his personal catcher the last few starts, but Higashioka started yesterday. So what is Mike Schilt going to do for today's game against the Cincinnati Reds? Will he put Camposano behind the plate and risk, you know, the pass balls and the difficulty in catching a guy who throws a knuckleball to get his offense into the lineup? Or will he stick with Kyle Higashioka, who's a little more familiar with Waldron's pitching, and, you know, keep them paired together? And could you possibly see Luis Camposano as a designated hitter in the lineup today with a two-catcher effort with Higashioka and Camposano both in the lineup against the Reds today? Because you got a left-handed pitcher in Nick Lodolo on the mound for Cincinnati, so you really would like to get Campy's bat into the lineup somehow, you'd think.
Yeah, you absolutely would. And I think it's fine to start Higgy, but I think you do have to get Kyle or get Campy in there as a DH. I think you have to. Other teams,
which would mean Manny's got to play third.
Which means Manny has to play third. Did Manny DH yesterday? Or did
he play third? He played third yesterday.
All right.
So that would mean he'd have to play third twice in a row.
Well, I mean, he can. He's done it before.
Yes, he can.
I think.
I mean, and you have to ask him, like, all right, how you feel? How are you recovering from yesterday? And if all is good, that is a possibility.
Listen, it would. It obviously will lend a lot of credibility to the people that say baseball overthinks things from time to time. Ride the hot hand of Luis Camposano. Me? Yes. Yes, he's in the lineup today. Yes. Then again, I don't know how his health is. I don't know what their plan is to get him rest.
Well,
does he need the rest?
Mike Schilt did say some guys are needing a little bit of rest, and he was kind of cryptic when it came to what the lineup today might look like.
Sure.
He did say, I'm not afraid to put both of my catchers in a lineup at the same time.
Good.
He said, I did that before with the Cardinals, and, you know, sometimes you'd have to figure it out. Because remember, and you know, the odds are that, you know, does Higashioka get hurt? And it's a possibility, but that's not likely. Here's the more of the issue. Let's say Higashioka starts behind the plate, and Camposano is your designated hitter. And it's like a tie game in the eighth inning, and you get the bases loaded, and Higashioka's coming to the plate. Well, he has not been your best hitter, and maybe you want to get a pinch hitter up there. Maybe there's a righty's coming in. You want to get a lefty to get a pinch hit at bat, see if, you know, Wade, you need something. If you pinch hit for Higashioka, then Camposano has to go in and catch.
Yes.
But then you lose your designated hitter.
But then you can add whoever you have on the bench in that role.
Then
yeah?
you'll have to pinch hit
for the pitcher
going forward.
Which is fine. If you're talking about the eighth inning, fine.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But if you're tied, you might have extra innings to worry about.
I think you worry.
It adds a layer of complication.
It does.
Catchers in the lineup
at the
same time.
I think that risk is far below what the reward would be from having a guy that's swinging the bat well, hit a bomb for you yesterday. I just don't think we need to overthink it at all. Lodolo is a lefty. You want to get some righties in there. Campy is, you know, hit the bomb yesterday. He's hitting a little bit more hitting from him lately. So, yeah, man, throw him in the DH spot. Let Higgy catch the knuckleball and bat him in the nine hole and call it a day.
The other possibility for DH today could be make a move and call up Donovan Solano, correct, who has been performing with a little more consistency, getting into form at AAA. And you'd think that they didn't sign him with the idea of just stashing him in AAA all year, that he is going to come up and probably be a part of the Padres lineup sooner rather than later. Is today the day? I don't know. He may still need another week or so, but if they think he's ready, that's an option as well, to get another right-handed bat into the lineup against a left-handed starter today.
Down for that as well.
Wouldn't be the craziest idea. I wouldn't be stunned if you saw his a uniform hanging in the Padres locker room with the name Solano on it today. And if it's not today, it's probably going to be before too long that you see him added to the mix, especially for a team that struggled offensively in four or five of the last few games this week. Get some new blood in there, a veteran who has generally barreled up the ball pretty well in his career. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him come up fairly soon as well.
I'm ready for it at this point.
All right, let's take a little time out. We still have in-season Sammy coming up this hour. Our Rindle Report is ahead. We've got some Legion tickets to give away as well. All coming up here before we get to 10 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods on the way after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys played my prank call again in our last segment.
We did.
Where I acknowledged that the Lakers are not going to win the championship.
You did.
They did win over the weekend.
They did.
Paulie off the air, though, had the perfect phrase for it. A gentleman's sweep.
Yeah, gentleman's sweep.
Which is better than they did last year against the Nuggets, which was an actual sweep of 4-0. I would venture that the Lakers season does come to an end tonight when they have to go back to Denver for Game 5. Did have some decent games over the weekend. The Clippers are tied 2-2 with the Mavs. Did you see any of that game yesterday? Listening to a little bit. They blew a 31-point lead.
Who did?
The Clippers. Whoa. And still ended up winning the game to even out the series.
Who feel the Mavs got to feel terrible about that one?
Yeah, I would think so. To come all the way back from 31 down, and then lose. Ouch, that's a tough one. You've been watching out of the NHL playoffs
a little bit. Yeah, I stayed up and watched the Dallas Stars overtime winner. Oh my god, that was right after the Seals game overtime winner. It was a wreck. I watched a little bit of that. They were talking about it in the dugout yesterday. The hits in the playoffs have gone up like 85% from the regular season. I mean, it is just the most violent, spectacular. Really wish we had a NHL team.
I mean, defensive
here
intensity goes up in the NBA playoffs for sure. Oh, yeah, because it's pretty low in the regular season. So it goes up in the playoffs. But there's no sport that the playoffs, I think, are more different than the regular season than hockey.
It's night and day.
Baseball is pretty much the same with just more pressure.
Yeah, football's the same.
They don't really change the game. Football, every game's so important, even in the regular season.
They play
the playoff
so hard.
Games are not that different. But in hockey, it's like almost a different sport.
It literally is a different... You're like... Oh, and you can see, you realize, too, you can't play every game in the regular season like that.
Nobody would make it through.
Everyone would be hanging by a string. So they kind of, you know, skating a little bump here and there. Playoffs, you're just toast. They just come after you. They body you. They board you. It's so much fun to watch. And again, like having a team here in San Diego right now that was in the NHL playoffs would be such a big help in alleviating the San Diego Padres misery that we're all feeling.
The team that's probably in the biggest torture chamber is the Phoenix Suns. I mean, they get swept by the T-Wolves. Durant, Booker, Beal, they've got all the stars. They're way over the salary cap. Those guys are going to each make $50 million next year. No one's going to take them. They got the new owner. Nothing they can do about it. They could probably fire another coach. That's probably the team in the biggest postseason torture chamber right now. They couldn't even get a single win. So there's your quick postseason update. Speaking of the postseason, Padres obviously lost to the Phillies in 2022 in the playoffs. There was a moment where it all seemed to go wrong in San Diego. It involved a appearance on local television by a group of dad bod looking gentlemen who rapped their way to infamy on local TV. So the NBC Sports Philadelphia television crew at the end of the sweep this weekend decided to revisit that. Paulie, they just threw it in at the end of like the highlight montage at the end of the weekend with a little courtesy KUSI right there on the end and had those guys dancing and singing. Trolling. They were trolling the San Diego Padres, the fan base.
As they go to break.
Everything.
Yeah.
Is that out of bounds or is that fair game for the Phillies and their broadcasters?
Fair game.
Fair game.
Yeah. We deserve it.
They also, their social media tweeted, sweeping in San Diego. That's what's in. I mean, it's really cool to let a team come into your house and just punk you for three straight games at home, sold out crowds. So they absolutely beat the snot out of you on the field. Then their social media throws one at you. That's what's in. Then their television also throws it in at the end.
Bryce gonna lose, and Manny's gonna cruise. That's what's in.
I don't know that we'll ever. It's like an.
None of us endorsed that at the time.
No, it's like an.
Other than maybe those guys and the television station that put them on.
It's like our permanent ancient Indian burial ground. I don't.
Padres on the loose. Let's go, Goose.
Our sister station down the hall had them in after it was over, and they were lurking around the building.
We were trying to barricade our doors.
We weren't trying to barricade our door. We put paper over the thin window.
You put a sign on the front that said "Gone fishing."
Gone fishing. That's right. I did. You're absolutely right. I wrote on a piece of legal pad "Gone fishing" and taped it to the door.
We have glass windows that look through each studio. Like we can see.
I can see out
into KSON, and we were like looking.
Is that
we're hiding?
Hiding.
Is there a statute of limitations?
No,
forever and ever.
If we beat the only way to exercise, you got to beat them in the playoffs. That's the only.
And then do we play it again?
Then we play it.
No, we're never playing it again.
No. When we beat them, we say, no, that's what's in. That's how you do it.
I don't want to.
Billy going down to yellow and brown. That's what's in.
How do we exercise this demon?
I don't know.
It's been all downhill ever since then.
It never leaves.
Really has. I mean, that is like the turning point of the franchise
of our lives.
I don't remember when in the playoffs that actually aired. Was it right before the series?
Right before the series.
Was it
like the day
tied 1-1 going back to Philly?
No, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was before game one, I believe.
I mean, you got the curse of the Bambino.
Yeah, the Billy Goat curse.
Billy Goat curse.
And you've got the that's what's in, guys. Steve Bartman.
What's in curse.
The that's what's in curse. It's a real thing.
That's what's in.
I mean, they tried in Chicago for many years.
Bro, they were like sacrificing live animals and stuff to try to break that
curse. Boston.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we going to do about it?
There's nothing we can do. I mean, it's tough.
Dude. I'm open to any suggestions on how to exercise this.
Patrick says, all that reminds me of is Woods screaming, stop embarrassing our city. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it until it happens. I don't know that we're a playoff team this year. I really hope that we are. We're not on a really good pace right now. That being said, if you're that guy that's like, hey, I'm going to go down the Coronado Bridge and do a rep, I'll find you, man. I really will find you. Like, you got to – let's try to act like we've been there before. I know we haven't been a bunch, but it's that's a tough one. And to have it thrown back up by not only the TV crew. They all got together. They're like, hey, if we get
have
this
clip ready to go.
We know exactly what we're doing today. And by the way, I tip my hat to you. Good sirs. It's brilliant that you did it. You should have done it. Keep doing it.
I mean, we would have done the exact same thing.
There's no question. Now, I've found raps from other fan bases. This is a Philly guy that has one. It's terrible. I tried to give us some reverse mojo. I tweeted it the other day. Nothing. Not a damn thing.
I mean, we're making the effort to try.
We really are trying.
Bryce going to lose, and Manny's going to cruise. That's what's in.
And I know there's so many people out there. Stop playing it. We deserve this.
We deserve it. We do.
We deserve that.
Yeah, I hated seeing it. I tweeted, we are in the seventh ring of hell with this thing, when the TV put it on there.
Take a look around, Ellen.
Yeah, take a look around. We're at the threshold of hell. It's like, not only do you get swept, you have to get your face rubbed in it as well. Never a good moment.
I did not like that.
All right, Sammy Levitt is what's in coming up next on Ben and Woods. We'll talk to in-season Sammy. Tough weekend, obviously, for him as well. We'll get his thoughts on the Padres, Phillies, and looking ahead to the Reds coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, rest easy, everybody. I think we have found a way out of the that's what's in curse. Just got a text from my beloved John and said, well, the only way to reverse it, obviously, is to play it backwards.
Certainly willing to give it a try.
And I thought, literally reverse it?
To reverse the curse, you have to play it backwards. And so Paulie said, I can handle that.
It's those that have men this as when you live free.
All right, I
feel lighter. I feel like something has left my body. You guys feel better?
Streak incoming. Here we go.
Oh, thank you,
May
John.
May never lose to the Phillies again.
Or anybody. Thank you, John, for literally Lip City.
Squirrelly says, sounds like drunks. What did they sound like forwards?
Right.
It's those that.
I want to hear that many more times.
It's those that.
So good.
All right, we're going to check traffic. In-season Sammy Levitt standing by. Going to join us next year on 97.3 The Fan. All right, he was in over the weekend. You guys told me that Sammy actually took a day off finally on Friday. But
smart move.
He was there in the Western. I listened to his entire post-game show on my drive back from Nevada yesterday. A sad post-game show after a sweep, but he tried to keep it as upbeat as possible. In-season Sammy Levitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning to you, Sammy.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Did you like our reverse the curse there? I thought it sounded pretty good.
I did. And I don't know if you guys, I saw the NBC broadcast played it at the end, but also the Philly social media team, they were having fun with it too.
Oh, so, of course they did. Yeah, we just talked about it. Really fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was that kind of weekend, but hey, all's fair, right? We would be laughing if the Padres social media team did something like that.
Oh,
so
dude.
All's fair when the series goes the way it did over the weekend, I guess.
Yep.
Sammy, since we talked to you last Monday, Mike Schilt had a, I don't want to call it a meltdown, but he certainly had a feisty moment with the media in Colorado. And then this weekend, you know, he has this tendency to go relentlessly positive even when things are going bad. You interact with him almost every single day. What's your kind of analysis of where Mike Schilt stands here with the team struggling? Does he really believe the positive stuff that he talks about with the media, or do you feel like there may be a different message behind closed doors for the team?
Well, I think with Mike Schilt, obviously, we've seen some of that, you know, fire in him, whether it's, you know, getting at the umpires or obviously what we saw after the game on Thursday in that interaction, even though, you know, he was really getting fired up and talking positively about his team while doing it. You know, look, I can't imagine that he is all that pleased with how it's going. And I don't know how much of that is the record, you know, and how much of that is just the fact that this team, for the most part, has not played a great brand of baseball, right, as far as falling behind in a lot of games, as far as not playing very clean defense, although actually in this four-game losing skid, they've actually played better defense, but before that, wasn't very good defensively. And, you know, fundamentally, I don't think it's been really clean so far. We've seen guys getting picked off quite a bit. I mean, you know, the thing we heard about Mike Schilt when he took the job was that this is somebody that really, really keys in on the fundamentals and will clean up some of those things. And I don't think this team has played a particularly clean or fundamentally sound brand of baseball to this point. That's not the whole reason the record's 14-17, but that is some of the reason. So I have to imagine, despite, you know, and this is just me speculating here, but despite, you know, him being pretty positive to the media, and I think he should be. I mean, it is April 28th, and we've got a long way to go, and there was a good point made in Kevin Acey's newsletter this morning, which I didn't realize, you know, that you know, a couple of Mike Schilt's teams in St. Louis that, you know, ended up with good records at the end of the season, you know, we're sort of middling in the early part and middle of the season. So I think he probably has that perspective that it's a long year and we've got a long way to go, and that can be true. But also that I don't think this team has played the brand of baseball that he, I would imagine, probably wants it at this point. But I understand the positivity this early, and when you've got a team with veterans that need to play better and you're still relying on the back of the baseball card, and I know it's all the things we talked about last year, but 31 games into your first year at the helm, I understand why he's, you know, spoken to the media post-game very positively and pointing out the positives. But, you know, I would imagine behind closed doors, you know, he's probably not all that happy with the way they've played based on sort of what we know about Mike Schilt and what he values.
Talking to our pal Sammy, in-season Sammy here on Ben and Wood. Sammy, you've been doing a great job. The lineup change yesterday, I think, was a little bit needed, certainly, and moving some guys around, getting Xander maybe out of the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
Did Mike Schilt talk about his reasoning for that? I missed that entirely. Did he talk about, you know, the plan going forward? I got to imagine, you know, just giving one day for Xander out of the leadoff is probably not going to happen. I mean, you got a lefty on the bump tonight. You know, they have the opportunity to do some different things. Yeah. I just wonder if they will.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded yesterday, obviously, like there was, you know, reasoning to just shake it up, right, based on what the offense had done the 2 days prior. I think there was a little bit of matchup stuff in there, too, because you look at Jerks and Profar, A, he's playing well. He's been arguably the team's best overall hitter, right, to this point, which is a good thing, but also not what you want or
right.
You expect, right,
100%.
Over the course of a couple of months here. I mean, that's great for Profar.
It's such a gift.
Awesome.
Yeah,
right.
It's such a gift.
It's a gift. You're right. It's a little cherry on top of the cake, right? But it can't be the whole cake, right? I mean, that's gotta come from the guys who are making the big bucks. So, but back to the lineup. I mean, we'll see today. I think a little bit of it was matchup based. If you looked at, I think it was Profar's numbers against Walker, they were pretty good. I'm jogging my memory now to look at what I wrote post game, but I think that was part of it. Something I talked about post game was Profar having good numbers against Walker, so that may have been a little part of it. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see a similar looking lineup today. I think if you're going to make a shakeup like that, you've got to give it, you know, a few days at least to see how it ultimately performs. And look, yesterday they were able to generate 6 runs. That clearly was not enough for yesterday or in this series. It also came both times in a span of 3 batters. They got 3 runs really quickly, and aside from that, they didn't do a whole lot. I mean, it was awesome that they made it a 1-run game yesterday, but hey, you get Profar on second base with 1 out, and you've got Tatis and Jake behind him. They've got to find a way to get him in when you've got that kind of momentum. And you know, I know this isn't necessarily a point about the lineup, but to me, that was the story of the series. I mean, your three highest paid guys, Manny, Xander, and Fernando Tatis Jr., were 4-for-29 with a double. And, you know, in most three-game series, that's not going to be nearly enough from those guys because they so are so important to this offense. But even more so than that, when you're playing this Phillies team, which is just loaded, and they're playing great baseball, and they're pitching really well, just not enough, right? You need more pop, you need more slug, you need more from those guys. And it is imperative that they start getting that from those guys because the schedule is not any easier coming up.
Sam, you sound like Woods did earlier. And neither of you are wrong. Stars have to play like stars. But ultimately, and while, yes, Ranger Suarez and Aaron Nola held the Padres down, the Padres have still scored the fourth most runs in baseball. The offense has been better this year. To me, the difference this year has been mostly in the starting pitching. And the biggest difference in the starting pitching, Sammy, has been in the home runs allowed. One of the stats today that all of Michael King's runs, other than like four of them this year, have come on home runs allowed. Joe Musgrove is something similar. The long ball has been an incredible problem for the Padres pitching staff this season. What's the discussion going on there? And is that something that seems like fixable to you?
You know, it's interesting, right? I mean, again, we talk about the problems, you know, from this series. And really, if you want to go back even further, and this is including that start for Michael King in Milwaukee, you know, if you go back to that game where they lost 1-0, even including that King start, which was tremendous, the starting pitching has nearly a 6 ERA in the last 11 games. And this weekend, you know, giving up 18 earned runs total in 15 innings, albeit to a really powerful Phillies lineup that has some really hot hitters in it. But, you know, that's tough. And that, you know, puts your offense and your team at a real disadvantage when you're giving up those kinds of run totals from your starting pitching. As far as can it be fixed, I think it can. I mean, I think each guy is a bit of a different situation. Obviously, Joe has been up and down, really struggled on Friday. You know, he says he feels great. Mike Schultz says he feels good. You know, he is coming off the shoulder issue last year. Is that affecting him at all? Is that why the velocity's a little bit down? Again, I can only go off what he and Mike Schultz say, and all the physical stuff, you know, they've said is good. So, you know, you hope Joe can settle into one of those grooves, much like we saw last year. I think certainly Joe is very capable of that, but he's got to obviously go out and settle into that groove. You know, I'm not worried about Dylan Cease out of the five. You know, I think, you know, that was him facing a really good lineup on Saturday. And by the way, all the damage for Cease came with two outs. So that really could have been a different outing for Cease. I'm not all that concerned about him. Look, Yu Darvish is coming off the IL and the results have, you know, not been, you know, all that great so far with you. I mean, it's been up and down. So we'll see when he comes off the IL what he looks like. And then for Michael King, look, if he can just stop giving up home runs, I think he'll be fine. You know, we've sort of seen what the potential of Michael King is, but the home runs have just been a huge issue. But for him, again, he's a guy that is doing something he's never done before, which is be a starting pitcher from the very outset of a season. So I think he's somebody who ultimately can settle into a groove. And then, you know, Matt Waldron, I think, has given you what you expect, you know, your number five starter to give you at this point. But obviously, you know, things could hypothetically go sideways with him, but they could also go really well with him. So, look, I think in the cases of Darvish and Musgrove, you're hoping they settle in. I'm not very worried about Cease. You know, I think if King can just figure out a way to limit these home runs, I think it'll go well for him, and you'll see what you get from Waldron. So I do think there is a path to turning it around with this rotation, but there's no doubt, Ben, that, man, it's so important that they get, you know, a better next turn or two from this rotation in order to win some more games because, you know, when you're giving up, you know, 18 runs in 15 innings over the course of a three-game series from your starting staff and just falling behind, it's really hard to win baseball games like that. But I still am, I would say, on the whole, optimistic that we will see, you know, better from this rotation over the course of the long haul.
Yeah, and you know, as far as the runs, I'm not going to harp on the runs scored and things like that. They've been a little bit better this year, but you also got to remember there's a 15. They scored 15 one game. They scored 13 another. They scored 10 another. Their sweet spot right now is about two runs. That's the most. Right. out of the number of runs they've scored in a game, they've done that the most at 7 times. Now, one little bright spot, 6 runs, they've done that 6 times. Scored 6 yesterday and didn't get the win. The feast or famine, it's a little bit, it's not as bad as last year, certainly, because you did feel like last year's game, they would have won that game yesterday against Taiwan Walker 12-1. Right? You get bodied the first 2 games at home, you barely score, and then you go in and you beat Taiwan Walker, you score 12 runs, and go, oh, okay, maybe we're figuring something out. But, you know, you take away the 15 and the 13, pretty average team runs scored-wise. So just kind of something to monitor as we move forward. It has been a little bit better, but these last 4 games have really been a tough look.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously the game on Thursday was a bit of an anomaly in the sense that the offense actually did a really good job, right, in scoring early and then tacking on, but then it all came crashing down in that 8th inning. I mean, you know, since that 8th inning, I think I calculated yesterday, I'm trying to look it up here, I can't find the number that I wrote down, but, you know, if you go back to how they've been outscored since that 8th inning, it isn't very pretty, and obviously you were hoping that loss would not turn into a losing skid, and it has. Now, is that all on the Padres and the way they've played? I think part of it is, but I also think that part of it is the fact that this Phillies team is really good. And I'm not making one big excuse for the Padres, but look, we saw there's a gap right now between these two teams, the way the Phillies are pitching, the way they're hitting, the way their stars are performing, even guys that aren't among their highest paid players, like an Alec Bohm, my goodness. I mean, he's just unbelievable right now. So there was a gap this weekend. And unfortunately, you know, from that 8th inning on Thursday on, yeah, I mean, it's sort of, you know, snowballed into a losing skid, and the Reds have, you know, played pretty well, and tonight's starting pitcher Nick Lodolo for them has been pretty good. So again, you look at this schedule, it's not getting much easier for a while.
You know, that's a fair point that the Phillies are a red hot team. They were hot before they got here. Every team in baseball will run into a hot team and get swept. I mean, there will be no team that doesn't get swept at some point. Yet, when it comes to the Padres, we do feel like, and maybe this is a good sign, we still feel like they should be able to compete against these teams. Are we being fair that we say, hey, you know, even after all the changes and.
Well, rest easy, everybody. I think we have found a way out of the that's what's in curse. Just got a text from my beloved John and said, well, the only way to reverse it, obviously, is to play it backwards.
Certainly willing to give it a try.
And I thought, literally reverse it?
To reverse the curse, you have to play it backwards. And so Paulie said, I can handle that.
It's those that I'm in this I'm swindly free. It's those that
I feel lighter. I feel like something has left my body. You guys feel better?
Streak incoming. Here we go.
Oh, thank you,
May
John.
May never lose to the Phillies again.
Or anybody. Thank you, John, for literally Lip City.
Squirrelly says, sounds like drunks. What did they sound like forwards?
Right. I want to hear that many more times. So good.
All right, we're going to check traffic. In-season Sammy, Sammy Levitt standing by. Going to join us next year on 97.3 The Fan. All right, he was in over the weekend. You guys told me that Sammy actually took a day off finally on Friday. But
smart move.
He was there in the Western. I listened to his entire post-game show on my drive back from Nevada yesterday. A sad post-game show after a sweep, but he tried to keep it as upbeat as possible. In-season Sammy, Sammy Levitt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning to you, Sammy.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Did you like our reverse the curse there? I thought it sounded pretty good.
I did. And I don't know if you guys, I saw the NBC broadcast played it at the end, but also the Philly social media team, they were having fun with it too.
Of course they did. Yeah, we just talked about it. Really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, it was that kind of weekend. But, hey, all's fair, right? We would be laughing if the Padres' social media team did something like that. Oh, so dude. all's fair when the series goes the way it did over the weekend, I guess.
Yep.
Sammy, since we talked to you last Monday, Mike Schilt had a, I don't want to call it a meltdown, but he certainly had a feisty moment with the media in Colorado. And then this weekend, you know, he has this tendency to go relentlessly positive even when things are going bad. You interact with him almost every single day. What's your kind of analysis of where Mike Schilt stands here with the team struggling? Does he really believe the positive stuff that he talks about with the media, or do you feel like there may be a different message behind closed doors for the team?
Well, I think with Mike Schilt, obviously, we've seen some of that, you know, fire in him, whether it's, you know, getting at the umpires or obviously what we saw after the game on Thursday in that interaction, even though, you know, he was really getting fired up and talking positively about his team while doing it. You know, look, I can't imagine that he is all that pleased with how it's going. And I don't know how much of that is the record, you know, and how much of that is just the fact that this team, for the most part, has not played a great brand of baseball, right, as far as falling behind in a lot of games, as far as not playing very clean defense, although actually in this four-game losing skid, they've actually played better defense, but before that, wasn't very good defensively. And, you know, fundamentally, I don't think it's been really clean so far. We've seen guys getting picked off quite a bit. I mean, you know, the thing we heard about Mike Schilt when he took the job was that this is somebody that really, really keys in on the fundamentals and will clean up some of those things. And I don't think this team has played a particularly clean or fundamentally sound brand of baseball to this point. That's not the whole reason the record's 14-17, but that is some of the reason. So I have to imagine, despite, you know, and this is just me speculating here, but despite, you know, him being pretty positive to the media, and I think he should be. I mean, it is April 28th, and we've got a long way to go. And there was a good point made in Kevin Acey's newsletter this morning, which I didn't realize, you know, that you know, a couple of Mike Schilt's teams in St. Louis that, you know, ended up with good records at the end of the season, you know, we're sort of middling in the early part and middle of the season. So I think he probably has that perspective that it's a long year and we've got a long way to go, and that can be true. But also that I don't think this team has played the brand of baseball that he, I would imagine, probably wants it at this point. But I understand the positivity this early, and when you've got a team with veterans that need to play better and you're still relying on the back of the baseball card, and I know it's all the things we talked about last year, but 31 games into your first year at the helm, I understand why he's, you know, spoken to the media post-game very positively and pointing out the positives. But, you know, I would imagine behind closed doors, you know, he's probably not all that happy with the way they've played based on sort of what we know about Mike Schilt and what he values.
Talking to our pal Sammy, in-season Sammy here on Ben and Wood. Sammy, you've been doing a great job. The lineup change yesterday, I think, was a little bit needed, certainly, and moving some guys around, getting Xander maybe out of the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
Did Mike Schilt talk about his reasoning for that? I missed that entirely. Did he talk about, you know, the plan going forward? I got to imagine, you know, just giving one day for Xander out of the leadoff is probably not going to happen. I mean, you got a lefty on the bump tonight. You know, they have the opportunity to do some different things. Yeah. I just wonder if they will.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded yesterday, obviously, like there was, you know, reasoning to just shake it up, right, based on what the offense had done the 2 days prior. I think there was a little bit of matchup stuff in there, too, because you look at Jerks and Profar, A, he's playing well. He's been arguably the team's best overall hitter, right, to this point, which is a good thing, but also not what you want or
right.
You expect, right,
100%.
Over the course of a couple of months here. I mean, that's great for Profar.
It's such a gift.
Awesome.
Yeah,
right.
It's such a gift.
It's a gift. You're right. It's a little cherry on top of the cake, right? But it can't be the whole cake, right? I mean, that's gotta come from the guys who are making the big bucks. So, but back to the lineup. I mean, we'll see today. I think a little bit of it was matchup based. If you looked at, I think it was Profar's numbers against Walker, they were pretty good. I'm jogging my memory now to look at what I wrote post game, but I think that was part of it, something I talked about post-game, was Profar having good numbers against Walker. So that may have been a little part of it, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see a similar-looking lineup today. I think if you're going to make a shakeup like that, you've got to give it, you know, a few days at least to see how it ultimately performs. And look, yesterday they were able to generate 6 runs. That clearly was not enough for yesterday or in this series. It also came both times in a span of 3 batters. They got 3 runs really quickly, and aside from that, they didn't do a whole lot. I mean, it was awesome that they made it a 1-run game yesterday, but hey, you get Profar on second base with 1 out, and you've got Tatis and Jake behind him. They've got to find a way to get him in when you've got that kind of momentum. And, you know, I know this isn't necessarily a point about the lineup, but to me, that was the story of the series. I mean, your 3 highest paid guys, Manny, Xander, and Fernando Tatis Jr., were 4-for-29 with a double. And, you know, in most 3-game series, that's not going to be nearly enough from those guys because they are so important to this offense. But even more so than that, when you're playing this Phillies team, which is just loaded, and they're playing great baseball, and they're pitching really well, just not enough, right? You need more pop, you need more slug, you need more from those guys. And it is imperative that they start getting that from those guys because the schedule is not any easier coming up.
Sam, you sound like Woods did earlier. And neither of you are wrong. Stars have to play like stars. But ultimately, and while, yes, Ranger Suarez and Aaron Nola held the Padres down, the Padres have still scored the 4th most runs in baseball. The offense has been better this year. To me, the difference this year has been mostly in the starting pitching. And the biggest difference in the starting pitching, Sammy, has been in the home runs allowed. One of the stats today that all of Michael King's runs, other than like 4 of them this year, have come on home runs allowed. Joe Musgrove is something similar. The long ball has been an incredible problem for the Padres pitching staff this season. What's the discussion going on there? And is that something that seems like fixable to you?
You know, it's interesting, right? I mean, again, we talk about the problems, you know, from this series. And really, if you want to go back even further, and this is including that start for Michael King in Milwaukee, you know, if you go back to that game where they lost 1-0, even including that King start, which was tremendous, the starting pitching has nearly a 6 ERA in the last 11 games. And this weekend, you know, giving up 18 earned runs total in 15 innings, albeit to a really powerful Phillies lineup that has some really hot hitters in it. But, you know, that's tough. And that, you know, puts your offense and your team at a real disadvantage when you're giving up those kinds of run totals from your starting pitching. As far as can it be fixed, I think it can. I mean, I think each guy is a bit of a different situation. Obviously, Joe has been up and down, really struggled on Friday. You know, he says he feels great. Mike Schultz says he feels good. You know, he is coming off the shoulder issue last year. Is that affecting him at all? Is that why the velocity's a little bit down? Again, I can only go off what he and Mike Schultz say, and all the physical stuff, you know, they've said is good. So, you know, you hope Joe can settle into one of those grooves, much like we saw last year. I think certainly Joe is very capable of that, but he's got to obviously go out and settle into that groove. You know, I'm not worried about Dylan Cease out of the 5. You know, I think, you know, that was him facing a really good lineup on Saturday. And by the way, all the damage for Cease came with 2 outs. So that really could have been a different outing for Cease. I'm not all that concerned about him. Look, Yu Darvish is coming off the IL, and the results have, you know, not been, you know, all that great so far with you. I mean, it's been up and down. So we'll see when he comes off the IL what he looks like. And then for Michael King, look, if he can just stop giving up home runs, I think he'll be fine. You know, we've sort of seen what the potential of Michael King is, but the home runs have just been a huge issue. But for him, again, he's a guy that is doing something he's never done before, which is be a starting pitcher from the very outset of a season. So I think he's somebody who ultimately can settle into a groove. And then, you know, Matt Waldron, I think, has given you what you expect, you know, your number 5 starter to give you at this point. But obviously, you know, things could hypothetically go sideways with him, but they could also go really well with him. So, look, I think in the cases of Darvish and Musgrove, you're hoping they settle in. I'm not very worried about Cease. You know, I think if King can just figure out a way to limit these home runs, I think it'll go well for him, and you'll see what you get from Waldron. So I do think there is a path to turning it around with this rotation, but there's no doubt, Ben, that, man, it's so important that they get you know, a better next turn or two from this rotation in order to win some more games. Because, you know, when you're giving up, you know, 18 runs in 15 innings over the course of a three-game series from your starting staff and just falling behind, it's, man, it's really hard to win baseball games like that. But I still am, I would say, on the whole, optimistic that we will see, you know, better from this rotation over the course of the long haul.
Yeah, and, you know, as far as the runs, I'm not going to harp on the runs scored and things like that. They've been a little bit better this year, but you also got to remember there's a 15. They scored 15 one game. They scored 13 another. They scored 10 another. Their sweet spot right now is about two runs. That's the most out of the number of runs they've scored in a game. They've done that the most. It's seven times. Now, one little bright spot. Six runs. They've done that six times. Scored six yesterday and didn't get the win. So the feast or famine, it's a little bit, it's not as bad as last year, certainly, because you did feel like last year's game, they would have won that game yesterday against Taijuan Walker 12-1, right? You get bodied the first two games at home, you barely score, and then you go in and you beat Taijuan Walker, you score 12 runs, and go, oh, okay, maybe we're figuring something out. But, you know, you take away the 15 and the 13, pretty average team run scored wise. So just kind of something to monitor as we move forward. It has been a little bit better, but these last four games have really been a tough look.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously the game on Thursday was a bit of an anomaly in the sense that the offense actually did a really good job, right, in scoring early and then tacking on, but then it all came crashing down in that eighth inning. I mean, you know, since that eighth inning, I think I calculated yesterday. I'm trying to look it up here. I can't find the number that I wrote down. But, you know, if you go back to how they've been outscored since that eighth inning, it isn't very pretty. And obviously you were hoping that loss would not turn into a losing skid, and it has. Now, is that all on the Padres and the way they've played? I think part of it is, but I also think that part of it is the fact that this Phillies team is really good. And I'm not making one big excuse for the Padres, but look, we saw there's a gap right now between these two teams, the way the Phillies are pitching, the way they're hitting, the way their stars are performing, even guys that aren't among their highest paid players, like an Alec Bohm, my goodness. I mean, he's just unbelievable right now. So there was a gap this weekend. And unfortunately, you know, from that eighth inning on Thursday on, I mean, it's sort of, you know, snowballed into a losing skid, and the Reds have, you know, played pretty well. And tonight's starting pitcher, Nick Lodolo, for them has been pretty good. So, again, you look at this schedule, it's not getting much easier for a while.
You know, that's a fair point that the Phillies are a red hot team. They were hot before they got here. Every team in baseball will run into a hot team and get swept. I mean, there will be no team that doesn't get swept at some point. Yet, when it comes to the Padres, we do feel like, and maybe this is a good sign, we still feel like they should be able to compete against these teams. Are we being fair that we say, hey, you know, even after all the changes and the lowering of the payroll, we still feel like this team should be able to compete against a team like the Philadelphia Phillies.
They should be better.
I agree. You know? I agree.
Joe pitches better. You know, Cease pitches better. Yeah, I really thought they'd win the Dylan Cease game. I really did. As hot as Ranger Suarez had been, Cease had been really, really good. And what he did at Colorado was just massively impressive. And I thought that they would win. I thought that they would win, split those first two, and then really have a good shot yesterday. Turns out they did have a decent shot to win yesterday, but just couldn't get it done.
Yeah. And I think to your guy's point, I mean, look, they're playing the Phillies at a time where the Phillies are playing really, really, really well. And look, the Phillies are going to be really good. I mean, that team is probably going to win upwards of 90 towards 100 games, especially with the way they look right now and the way they're pitching. You know, but keep in mind, you know, this was the same Padres team that a couple of weeks ago had that run against the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Brewers where they won all those series. And we were very high and impressed on how they were playing. I think the truth of this team right now probably lies somewhere in the middle, right? Where, you know, they're not as bad as they looked this weekend. They're probably also not as great as they looked over that run. Right now, they probably sit somewhere in the middle. You know, at this current moment, you've lost four in a row, so it doesn't feel great. But again, I said this yesterday in the post game. I just think, you know, right now it's imperative, though, they start playing better, and you don't let this kind of losing skid get out of hand, because again, with the schedule and what we learned last year is when you get below 500, and you get 3, 4, 5 games
Sammy,
below.
Time's up. 5 seconds left. We'll catch you on the EcoWater SoCal pregame show.
Sorry, we love you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.